Browns fans, don't miss A Legacy Unleashed at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, celebrating the greatest and most iconic moments in franchise history. For a limited time, now through April 21st, fans can immerse themselves in the Browns' rich history and get up close and personal with legends like Ozzie Newsome, Josh Cribbs, Bernie Kosar, Eric Metcalf, and many others. A Legacy Unleashed, for a limited time at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Get your tickets at profootballhof.com today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome into a Tuesday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. I am Ashley Bastak, joined once again by Mary Kay Cabot, who is checking in from Orlando. And Mary Kay, so much has happened since we recorded Monday's podcast. At this time yesterday, you had only had a chance to hear from Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski, but since then, you've gotten to catch up with Jimmy and Dee Haslam. They made a ton of news. Andrew Berry. And just in general, you got to go to the Roger Goodell's press conference. So the Brazil game came up. So all of that is to say, there's way too much to cover in one single episode of this podcast. So we talked beforehand. We're going to keep it to Jimmy and Dee Haslam, since that was your most recent conversation after yesterday's pod. But I want to start off with just very broadly, what was your main takeaway or takeaways from that availability? Because it seemed like there were a few major storylines to come out of it.
Well, I'm going to start with the stadium because that is the hot topic. That is the big takeaway. That is the hot button issue for Cleveland right now. So they absolutely 100% confirmed that they are considering building a domed stadium in Brook Park. They have an opportunity to purchase 176 acres of land in Brook Park, not too far from the airport, not too far from the Browns facility. And we're out there every day at the Browns facility during the season, and they have knocked down house after house. There's a lot of building going on around the Browns facility right now. So I think they're almost looking at this globally in the event that they get the new stadium out there, that they also will have something akin to Jimmy's World in Berea. So not exactly sure where this is all going to end up, but they were very adamant about the fact that this is a viable option for them to build a domed stadium. And there's so much to unpack here. There's so much to think about. I have mixed feelings about it. I'm sure you have mixed feelings about it, right? But that's what they are talking about. So now they have two viable options: the domed stadium in Brook Park, and also a $1 billion renovation of Cleveland Browns Stadium. So off we go.
So this was obviously, it was interesting to me because it's the biggest story right now, I think, concerning the Haslams. But it was also interesting to me because this is a very different conversation than we had this time last year at the NFL annual meetings. After the Haslams talked at this time last year, from what I remember, and please correct me if I'm wrong, they were adamant that they were only seeking a renovation. And this is just a departure from that. We know this land now in Brook Park is up in the air for them. But it's just really interesting to me that in a year's time, we've gone from, hey, there's no, we're not thinking about this, we're not moving the stadium, to, well, these are both viable options for them at this point.
Yes, it's really almost a 180 from what we did talk about with them last year, because there was no discussion whatsoever of a domed stadium outside of the city of Cleveland. It was all renovation, renovation, renovation. I have been shown plans of a beautiful renovation of Cleveland Browns Stadium, and it's phenomenal. And they had me getting excited about that. They were excited about that. And now there's been kind of a monkey wrench thrown into the plans. And I think it is because I asked them this point blank yesterday. Why did you pivot? Where did the pivot come from? And basically the pivot comes from the fact that once you delve into negotiations, things change. And you're not sure what you're going to get from the city and the county and the state. And then also you start to think about, look what Detroit has done with a dome, what Indianapolis has done with a dome. Look at what some of these other cold weather cities are going to be able to do with their domes over the next 10 years. And how are the Cleveland Browns and the city of Cleveland going to be able to compete with these other facilities? And the truth of the matter is they won't be able to attract the Taylor Swifts and the big concerts and all of these kinds of things. They're not going to be able to do that unless they do the dome. So there are a lot of reasons why you would want to do a dome, and there are reasons why you wouldn't want to do a dome. So who knows where this is going to end up, but it's going to be very controversial over the next 2 years until they get this figured out.
And I know we've gotten this question, and I know you put it in your story that went up yesterday on Cleveland.com, but people wondering, why can't you just do a dome downtown? Why can't the renovations for the stadium downtown include putting a dome on it? But our understanding of it seems to be that because of Burke Lakefront Airport, where the stadium currently is, and I know the Haslams also said they're not looking anywhere else downtown for a stadium, for like a new quote-unquote stadium. If Cleveland Browns Stadium is going to be downtown right now, they're saying it's going to be where it currently is. Where it is in the airspace for Burke Lakefront Airport. So there's no possibility of putting a dome on it. But yeah, it is really interesting because to me, my first thought when the talk of a dome comes up is it's this idea of using the stadium for more than 10-ish times a year for football games. It's how can you maximize its use for other things? And it just seems like you're kind of seeing the Haslams like directly and indirectly say that as well. And as you mentioned, all the land they've brought up in Berea, it just seems like the dome would be a big part of a more holistic approach for them when it comes to stadium use.
Right. And I almost felt like they had themselves so talked into this dome that perhaps they were not excited anymore about a renovation of Cleveland Browns Stadium. When you hear them talk about the ingress and the egress and the parking and all of the other amenities that you can do and all the things that they have gotten themselves really fired up about in terms of the Brook Park facility, I have to wonder, is that their preference? They would not admit that yesterday. I asked them several times. Now that you've dipped your toes into the dome waters, is this going to be okay for you to do the renovation at Cleveland Brown Stadium? And they insisted several times during this interview, which was about a half an hour interview, maybe about 35 minutes with a small group of reporters, Cleveland.com, four other reporters that cover the Browns that are down here at the meetings. And they swear up and down that the renovation of Cleveland Browns Stadium is equally attractive to them, equally exciting for them. And I hope that's the case because it could turn out that way. That could be the outcome, a renovated Cleveland Browns Stadium.
Yeah, I did think that part of it was interesting. And you made that very clear in the story, right? That they're saying not one of these options is more attractive than the other at this point. Again, it's still a departure from what they were saying at this time last year when they were all about that renovation. But it is still interesting to kind of not hear them take that full step, leave the door, you know, it's not even just cracked. Like these doors are open an equal amount at this point in terms of which route they're going to go. They've stressed they're still in contact with Mayor Justin Bibb and the county. And these are constant conversations that they're having. I mean, I also thought it was interesting too in your story that they brought up the possibility of this lease, the lease for the stadium, which ends in 2028, that they don't seem that concerned about it. They're like, it could be extended by a year or two if we had to go that route. So when we've talked about this in the past and we're like, hey, 2028's coming up pretty fast. It's like, they're not even committed to that as a hard deadline.
Right. They actually can go back to government entities and renegotiate the lease so that they can extend this. If it's to the point where they have to pull the trigger on something right away and they're not ready to do that yet, that is one avenue that they can explore, is seeing if they can do something about that. And now that the Haslams have come out and admitted that they are exploring this domed stadium in Brook Park, we are mobilizing at Cleveland.com and we are going to be all over this story from all angles, from the state, county, and local levels, from governments to establishments around these areas to every angle that you can possibly think of, because this is going to dominate a lot of Cleveland news for the next couple of years until they get this figured out. They have said they would, the Haslams have said they would like some resolution within the next year as to, are they renovating or are they going dome in Brook Park? Now, I will say, I like the idea of a dome. I like progress. I like the opportunity to have year-round events. And there's so many things that I like about that. However, I also really, really love the idea of the Cleveland Browns in downtown Cleveland. There's something special about that. Something very special about that. So I'm a little bit torn myself.
Yeah.
I like, right? I like progress. I think a dome would be amazing for our city, for our region, for our area. But I also think that the Cleveland Browns downtown can be part of a larger revitalization of our city.
Yeah, I think we think about this so similarly. I mean, I think a big part of it, right, is that we're both from here. And I think that it brings with it a different understanding of kind of the landscape. And like, you have a certain love for Cleveland when you're from Northeast Ohio. And I think we both have that. Obviously, I spent a couple years away from Cleveland and I missed it so much. I came back because I'm from here and I love it. I live downtown, so I'm 100% with you on being so torn about this, because I think with both of us and our jobs and having this opportunity to go see some other stadiums, you do get kind of entranced by this idea of a dome when you go to Ford Field and when you go to SoFi Stadium and when you go to all of these really high-tech new places. But at the same time, yeah, like you do have to wonder, and like you said, Mary Kay, we have this covered. We're going to have this covered over at Cleveland.com from all these different angles, because this isn't just a Brown story. This is very much a big local news story. It's going to be one for the next however many years until this is resolved. But I just think there is that element of, there's something special about having all three of your major teams, their facilities be in downtown Cleveland, and the money that can bring in, and obviously the culture and the fans and what that means economically for the city. So there's all these moving pieces and parts, but yeah, it's hard, I think, not to get very much infatuated with the idea of the dome if you do have a chance to go to a stadium with one. And I know people love like AFC North cold snow games, that sort of stuff, but I'll tell you, the domes are also really nice when you have snow outside and you just get to sit in a nice climate controlled environment for a couple hours.
Yes. Now, the thing that comes to my mind about that, though, is if you really started to build a dome in Brook Park, are you really going to be able to do it for a little bit more than double the $1 billion renovation of Cleveland Browns Stadium? We know that SoFi was about $5.5 billion. I keep getting my millions and billions mixed up here. $5.5 billion or something like that. And that bill was footed by Stan Kroenke. So, and Jerry built Jerry's World. And Jimmy and Dee Haslam could certainly do that. They could decide to build their own domed stadium. And I'm not even going to say that that's completely off the table. We asked them that question yesterday, and they didn't completely rule it out. I don't think it's their first choice. But if you do build a domed stadium like that, then, of course, you get to keep all the revenue. And there are a lot of things that you can do with a dome like that, and you get all the parking revenue, and there are so many other things to consider. So we don't know the end game for this yet, but I have a hard time believing that once the Haslams are so enormously wealthy that I don't know that a $2 billion dome stadium is going to be good enough for them. Do you know what I mean? Once you go around and you see the $5 billions, how is two going to cut it for you? You know?
And yeah, your memory for numbers once again came through, because I did look that up. SoFi was $5.5 billion when it was built. So again, prices have gone up since then, I'm sure, is the way prices tend to do, and inflation happens and all of that sort of stuff. So it'd probably be even more expensive now if they were to build SoFi Stadium starting this offseason as opposed to, you know, opening it in 2020. So I really am curious to see where this all goes. And I know we've talked about this 180 turn that, hey, this idea of building a brand new stadium is now on the table. But, you know, 4 years and 6 months from now, when it's September of 2028, where do you think we're going to be with all of this? What's your gut telling you right now?
I feel like that's not enough time to pull off what they're trying to do. When you are pivoting now to new possibilities and that you're torn between two things, and this is supposed to start happening in 4 years, I don't know. They might end up needing that extension that they discussed. There's so much to unpack here. And then you might also have political regime changes. You could have a new mayor at some point, and that could change the landscape as well. So we don't know exactly where this is going to go yet. Here's what I would love to happen, and I don't see any path forward for this. But in a perfect world, I would build the dome, and I would build it downtown somehow. Somewhere, some way, that is what I would do. Again, as you mentioned earlier, and I reported this in my story, the existing Cleveland Browns Stadium is in the flight path of Berkeley Airport. Why can't you just knock down Berkeley Airport and start over there? Because you have FAA considerations with that, and there are a lot of other things that go into that. Feasibility studies, site studies, all kinds of things. So you'd almost be starting from square one to be considering that site. But in a perfect world, that's what I would wish for Cleveland, to be able to keep the stadium downtown and then have a dome, and maybe even a retractable dome so that you could have the best of both worlds. I don't know if any of that is even remotely possible, but that is what would be on my wish list. It doesn't seem to be in the cards right now. Right now, it seems there are two viable options, Brook Park and Cleveland Browns Stadium, with a $1 billion renovation.
And I do think, too, it's important to note it sounded like the Haslams were still kind of like, regardless of what happens, that they are still all about this idea of lakefront development. And I know, like, you and I have talked about that and how much possibility there is there. And I thought it was interesting. And they also made a concerted effort to be like, hey, look, this is not an Art Modell situation. Like, they didn't want people to panic about that from a fan perspective. So I thought those two things also were interesting, that they were willing to go there and bring those up.
Yes. The latter, for Jimmy to come out and say that we are going to be in Northeast Ohio forever, I think that's important. I think with what this fan base was put through by Art Modell in 1995, no one wants to go through that again. It was horrible for everyone involved. So to reassure everyone that that is not going to happen, I think that's vitally, vitally important. As far as the lakefront is concerned, I think that their piece on that, their take on that is that even if you yank that stadium off that beautiful piece of property, that a lot of development can happen down there. And it can't. You can have mixed use, you can do things, you can try to find a way to revitalize Cleveland in another way. The land bridge is still supposed to be going through. I mean, there's $20 million that has already been approved for that. So I don't know exactly how that would shake out. I asked them if they would be part of the lakefront revitalization if they're not down there with the Cleveland Browns, and they said that would be determined. So we'd have to see how that would all play out. But I think that's a big consideration. You know, you don't want this to be a bad thing, a detrimental thing for the city of Cleveland to lose the Cleveland Browns. If there's some way that Cleveland can prosper and benefit from it, then I could get excited about that. But if it causes our city of Cleveland to not be what it should be, then I do get concerned about that. because I think we have a wonderful natural resource here on the lake. You and I travel all over the country. We see beautiful cities all over the place that don't have the natural physical plant that Cleveland does. And it should be an amazing place to live. It should be a great place for young people to come to. It should be vibrant. It should be full of life. There should be apartments on the lake, and right? I mean, there just should be restaurants on the lake, all kinds of development on the lake. And I think the Haslams see that as something that could happen, but I don't see that happening if you keep the airport there. I mean, I really do think that the airport needs to go. It's not an easy thing to do by any stretch of the imagination, but if you can get that out of there, then I think you have some hope for a very global expansion down there on the lakefront of mixed-use apartments, shopping, restaurants, entertainment venues, and those kinds of things.
Yeah, these are not easy problems, I think, for anybody to solve. And I mean, it's why when we talk about that 2028, that possible deadline, quote unquote, it's not that far away. It's 4 years, but it's not that long at all. And these are problems that the city and the county and, you know, have been dealing with for decades, especially with this airport. There's always talk about the Burke Lakefront Airport, it seems like, in regards to whether it should be where it is currently and how valuable is that for given the land and the lake. And you look at a city like Chicago, where the lakefront obviously is such a big part of downtown Chicago, which I know we both love that aspect of it and would love to see Cleveland kind of have something similar. But I think it just comes, for me, it just comes down to these are really big questions, really big bureaucratic and governmental issues that, hey, a lot of people are going to have their hands in dealing with.
Absolutely. And Ashley, as you mentioned, you live downtown. I have 3 children in their 20s. I would love to see them get excited to move back into Cleveland and have their friends move it back into Cleveland and have there be, you know, jobs that they could get excited to come here for and apartments on the lake that they could come here for and different things like that. I would love Cleveland to live up to its enormous potential. I know you feel that way too. We're Cleveland through and through, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't just land here and start covering the Browns. We were born and raised here. Our families are here. Our extended families, our parents, our grandparents are from here. We're from here. And we want what's best for the city of Cleveland. I think that the Haslams do too. I really do. I think that they are committed. I think they see the crown jewel that this city can be. And let's hope that there is a happy ending in this somehow and that it doesn't get ugly, because nobody wants to live through what everybody had to go through in 1995.
Definitely not. And it seems like, I hope that some fans at least found some reassurance, as we've been saying, in those words yesterday that Jimmy Haslam said, and thinking they'll be in Northeast Ohio forever as far as the Haslams are concerned. But the Haslams did also talk about some other things besides the stadium, if you can believe it. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about those long-awaited extensions that are supposed to be coming for Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Ashley Bastock here with Mary Kay Cabot. And Mary Kay, we teased it there, but this was the other big question, I think, for the Haslams. We previewed it last week when you, I, and Dan sat around and talked about the questions we would have for the Haslams, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. When are the extensions coming for their GM and head coach, and what did they have to say about that?
Well, it was funny because, remember, I kept telling you guys, I am not ready for this story. And then I was like, I should have a slug written and ready to go. But I really didn't do that. I didn't have that. And then I was told it wasn't going to happen here at the meetings. But then, of course, I had to go and screw everything up by asking Jimmy, are you close? Because he was saying, we love these guys and we want them around. And I said, are you close to extensions with them? And lo and behold, the answer was yes. So I had to spring to action and write a quickie little couple paragraphs before. It was just an insane period of time. We met with the Haslams, and then once again, I peeled back the curtain on this for you guys last week, where we're supposed to be, and I'm really glad that I was able to get there, we're supposed to be front and center at the only social event of the year that reporters are welcome at, where you have an opportunity to speak to general managers, coaches, and NFL owners. We're welcome there. We are part of this social event at the NFL annual meeting. It's the only time that you get to do anything like this. And it's a pretty special thing. And you don't want to miss it. I mean, it's just something that you have to be at for a number of reasons. I mean, while I was there, I talked to Paul DePodesta. I talked to Kevin Stefanski. I talked to Andrew Berry. I talked to Dee Haslam. I talked to Jimmy Haslam. It's just something that you have to do. So it was a phenomenal event, but they spoke at around 4:30-ish. We got done with them around a little bit after 5. Then you have to transcribe. Then you have to write. So all of a sudden, I found myself with these two big stories I was supposed to write. I was sitting down at a computer at like 6 o'clock, knowing that I had to be somewhere at 7. And actually, I'm going to really peel back the curtain for you, because you'll enjoy this, Ashley. And you can confirm it with Kelsey Russo, who covers the Cleveland Browns for clevelandbrowns.com. I was not ready to go to the party yet. And so while we were waiting for the Haslams to get out of their last meeting, and we were in our little small group in the room waiting for them, there was a full-length mirror. I plugged in my curling iron. And while we waited for them to walk in, I got myself ready to go to the party.
This is such a Mary Kay story.
Right?
I mean, I've seen, to pull back the curtain even further, when we've been in the media room at the facility in Berea, and we, of course, have our power strips built into our table, and I've seen Mary Kay plug in that curling iron to a work power strip and pull out a mirror, pull out her phone, just curl the hair right there before one of our videos. So I'm not surprised at all by this story.
Now, fortunately, I got it done before Jimmy and Dee walked in the room. That would have been very embarrassing. But I got it done in just the right amount of time, just in the nick of time. So this is kind of what this is all about. So trying to pull together a story. When I saw Dee at the soiree, she was talking about, how'd you pull that together so fast? Not my hair, the stories. And I said, I wrote that thing so fast, I might have said you guys are thinking of Brooklyn instead of Brook Park.
So it's amazing you got it all right within that time.
Yeah, I don't know. You just have to do what you have to do. So I had to write a little bit of extension, which I still need to go back and fix that. And then I wrote the stadium story. And then I did the important thing, the very important thing, which was hobnobbing with the royalty at the Grand Lakes Ritz-Carlton with curled hair.
There you go. The hair was done and the hobnobbing happened. But I did think it was interesting, the little bit that I've read from what they said about this, that bringing up this idea that Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, he lumped Paul DePodesta in there as well, since those guys really have kind of become their core little unit. Jimmy Haslam brought up this idea that they haven't been rattled by anything. And I think that makes sense, that that's like the trait they would gravitate to when you think about everything. I mean, I could say everything that's happened to the Browns in the last 3 decades. Of course, these guys haven't been here that long, but there's always something going on. And it just seems like it struck me that what they've been impressed by is their ability to just kind of steady the ship. And I think it goes to this larger point of what we've talked about with the Haslams before and kind of keeping things pretty quiet for the most part the last few years, even though all these big stories have risen up. Jimmy hasn't had that trigger finger, so to speak. I think that a lot of fans had gotten this reputation, this idea of this reputation of him and of Dee Haslam in their heads, that hey, they'll be quick and reactive if they have to, and we haven't seen that.
We haven't seen that, but you almost have to wonder. When you look back to the Greenbrier press conference with him last year, he was noncommittal. Mm-hmm. He made no promises about what was going to happen if they didn't make the playoffs for the third season. And, of course, we all think that they would have continued to exercise patience and maintain the status quo and look at the long view with Deshaun Watson and with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. But he made no promises about that. And he's a very impatient owner. He's gotten more and more patient over the years, but he's not going to tolerate perennial losing. So you've got to win. I think it really helped them so much this year that they were able to pull off the playoffs with four different quarterbacks and that they had such a feel-good end to the season. Sometimes a season can go south and it takes on a life of its own and it snowballs and things just get crazy. Well, this was the opposite. They held it together. They held it together and it resulted in a playoff berth, and it had also resulted in what will be extensions for Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. I think that's great for the team. I think it's great for the organization that they have alignment, that they have continuity, because they can build. They can build on what they did last year, and now they can try to take it to the next level. And everybody knows what the next level is. I mean, they're not messing around here. They want a Super Bowl. Let's see if they can get there.
I do think, too, it's just interesting, this idea that we always talk about big picture with this team. I think they really were in a perfect spot, you know, going 11-6, making the playoffs. Like, first of all, the season could have easily just sort of become a lost season after Deshaun's injury. I think the fact that they still kept the ship afloat obviously did a lot to warrant these extensions, as we discussed. But, like, this team also, we know how many close calls they had this year. I mean, the best example is the 49ers game and Jake Moody missing a kick, right? Even if that kick goes differently, it's like, who knows what this season would transpire? I mean, there really is a butterfly effect in the NFL. And like one little thing like that could be the difference between an extension for your head coach and GM in theory, because who knows if the season would have gone differently after that point if the Browns lose that game.
You're exactly right. But I think that they would have had a built-in excuse this year. When you lose your starting quarterback, when you lose your starting right tackle, when you lose your starting running back, and not just any running back, but Nick Chubb, who's larger than life in this city, when you lose all of those guys, I think you almost get a little bit of a pass as a coach. Yeah. It would have been hard to make any kind of a change in the regime whatsoever when those guys had to deal with what they dealt with. So it was a tremendous bonus that they were able to make the playoffs under those conditions. But in this case, I don't think that they would have blown anything up had they not made the playoffs.
I do think, like, I agree with that. But I think, too, for me, thinking ahead, it's also I think the pressure would be totally different for this upcoming season if they didn't have the success without Deshaun Watson that they did. So I'm curious about that. Like, we'll never know what the other reality is in that situation because they did have success. But I do think, like, hey, if they finished out the season, only won a couple more games, didn't make the playoffs, it's like, yeah, you have the excuse. But it's like that sense of urgency is still ticking. And I do wonder, hey, would that question have gone maybe a little bit, you know, I don't know, slightly differently? Would he have given a slightly different answer if this alternate reality had played out? I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't. But I think the pressure going into this season is different. It's more manageable.
It is more manageable. But the window is not that the window is closing, but they have so many guys in their prime right now. Mm-hmm. You really want to be trying to get to the Super Bowl when you have Myles Garrett in his prime and you have Denzel Ward in his prime and you've got Deshaun Watson and Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller and all of these guys right at the point in their career where they should be able to help you win a Super Bowl. So you don't want to let it go out too long. The Browns just have to really, really hope that Deshaun Watson can come back nice and healthy. And we are hearing that Nick Chubb is going to be back at some point this season, and he should be able to be counted on in some way, shape, or form. And we will get more into that tomorrow when we tackle those topics. But I do think that there still is plenty of pressure on this season.
Yeah, like Mary Kay said, we'll get more into Nick Chubb, what Andrew Berry said. Of course, your prediction was 100% right, Mary Kay. I thought from reading the quotes, Andrew Berry did offer more insight than Kevin Stefanski in terms of where Nick Chubb is and what they need to see from him exactly. So that's a little tease. The one quick thing I did want to touch on, because we're recording this at about 4:40 on Tuesday evening, we'll get into this topic more, but just in case something happens, the Brazil game, because I do think that is a question for a lot of fans. I know you've done some reporting on it. Roger Goodell talked about it today. So at, again, with the caveat, this is 4:40 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday afternoon. Where do things stand with this? Because it sounds like there may be a resolution here in a matter of days.
There should be. I've heard that they could make an announcement as soon as Thursday, but it was absolutely buttoned down here. You couldn't get anything out of anybody. The most I got out of anybody was that it could be Thursday. And then Packers president, is it Matt Murphy or Mike Murphy? Matt Murphy, I think, came out today and confirmed. Now, you know that I've been writing for weeks that it was down to the Browns and the Packers. But he actually came out and confirmed that today on the record for his reporters. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I've heard that the Packers have basically said they don't want it. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if they asked him if that is absolutely true. I have to go read those stories. But the Browns, on the other hand, have raised their hand and unequivocally stated that they want that game in Brazil. They want to embrace the global nature of the NFL. They want to be part of this historic game. They don't worry about the 12-hour flight and about starting the season on the road like that. They're excited about it. They want it. And I think there's something to be said for that when the NFL is making its decision. But by the same token, apparently the Packers are huge in Brazil. And there is some thought to they want that big draw. And we'll just have to see how it goes. We should know in a couple of days. And it's going to be very interesting. I mean, in a couple of months, I could be headed to Brazil in September. I mean, my goodness, that would be something.
Yeah. I mean, I got a passport today just like on the off chance that I would be sent somewhere, which don't know if that would happen, but or don't know if they're going to have an international game. But we were joking before this podcast because I look very mean in my passport photos. So we're doing all of these things in terms of just in case, because truly no one knows.
Well, let me just say this, okay? While we are on the topic, and I'm just going to throw this out there because I threw myself under the bus with the curling iron. Ashley, for heading out to get your passport photo taken, you have a lovely, lovely, beautiful face of makeup on right now. And even though you do look a little mad because they don't let us smile in the passport photo,
No. It's
quite a beautiful picture. So,
well, thank you.
There you
thank
go.
Thank you. I might post it on my Instagram story to make fun of myself because I love to do things like that. But as you know, we're going to be covering this one way or the other. The Browns are still very much in the mix for this. So you can read about it when it happens. Obviously, check out all of Mary Kay's coverage from Orlando, from the owners' meetings before she heads home. Head over to cleveland.com/Browns. You can become one of our football insiders there. You'll get texts from myself, Mary Kay, Dan. Mary Kay sent a bunch of owners' meetings texts since we've been out there. You also get a newsletter that one of us writes every single day that appears nowhere else on cleveland.com. Also, check out our YouTube page. Mary Kay's been posting shorts. I actually helped her edit a short today that we had some technical issues, but it's going to be back up on our YouTube page. That's Cleveland Browns at cleveland.com over on YouTube. Dan also does an amazing job running our Instagram. That's Orange and Brown Talk. Just search it. You'll find us, clips from the show, videos, things like that. I don't think I'm missing anything. Again, I so much respect for Dan for being able to rattle these off in the seamless way he does, because I struggle with it. I always feel like I'm forgetting something, Mary Kay, but I think I got every single thing, right? Am I missing something?
No, you're doing great. A phenomenal job. And Dan is amazing.
Dan's
amazing. He's a tough act to follow, but you're doing a terrific job.
This is why Dan needs a theme song a la I'm Just Ken. Somebody needs to write him a theme song if we have any musically inclined listeners. If you do, I don't know what you'll get, but you'll get a laugh out of Dan probably, and that should be reward enough. So until tomorrow, Mary Kay, I'll talk to you hopefully once your flight lands from Orlando and we can recap everything else that you heard at the owners' meetings.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.